Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. Also visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links. And we still got to get that paranormal link out there. So look for that. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. It's Willie's big brother, Jesse Ubus.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. What are you drinking? Whiskey?
Jameson.
I've got a weird Mexican beer with a fun can.
Looks very
El Rey.
I'm just drinking Modelo's, but I've got the both versions tonight. I'm just going back and forth.
So rocking an IPA. It's called The Game, and it looks like the Mario Brothers on the can.
Yep. I don't like IPAs. I never got into IPAs. They're fading out, I've noticed.
Well, we grew up in Colorado, so we had, you know, Coors and Budweiser.
and then all the microbrews.
Fat Tire started there. I left in 2005.
So we left before you did.
Yeah.
I don't think it's family drama. I didn't know what I was asking when I asked this just before we started recording, but you go by your mother's maiden name.
That's on my birth certificate.
So I remember looking at my parents' wedding picture and be like, that kid looks like Jay.
It was
Jesse. And my mom was like, no, that's your cousin.
No, I think, it could have been Bobby, because when they got married, I was only like, was the kid standing up? Because I was only like a year old, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So maybe that was right.
Because Bobby was a year older than me. That was Elvie's kid.
I stepped in some sort of family conspiracy because I asked if you had different fathers, and you said, that's what we think. So what is the story?
Well, my Aunt Susan, when I was 18, you know, because I grew up as Jason Roberts, and I didn't find out that my birth certificate said Jaceel Ubus until I was 16 when we went to go get my driver's license. Like, I had to wait an extra 6 months to get that sucker mailed to me, and I'm all excited when I see, you know, I know what it is when it shows up in the mail. I rip that thing open, and I was like, oh, they sent the wrong one. And
my dad was like, my name wrong.
Like, the story they gave me was, you know, because it was during Vietnam and dad was in the Navy, and, you know, him and mom were partying, and, you know, he went back out to sea because he was in the Navy. He was out on tour. And when she had me, they were like, oh, another bastard.
Yeah.
You know, another American bastard. So they gave me mom's last name. I don't know where Jaceel came from. I've actually found another one, you know, the way it's spelled and everything.
Oh, really? Mom told me that she said Jason and they just spelled it wrong.
Well, the story I got was she tried to say it and had a contraction. So, who knows?
Jason! You know,
yeah. And somebody spelled it phonetically. So, who knows? But, you know, that was the story I was fed. And then, you know, Dad, when his tour of duty was done, they went back to Pearl, and then from Pearl they went to San Diego, and Mom almost had you on the plane on the way over there. Like, had you been born like 10 minutes sooner, you would have had like a lifetime of free air tickets.
Yeah, I know. Back then they used to do stuff like that. She had to lie about how far along she was in labor.
Yeah.
I didn't know this until later. She almost had me on the plane, and they landed in L.A. and then drove to San Diego and had me in San Diego.
Man.
So she was in labor for L.A. to San Diego. I'm like, well, are you fucking kidding me? And I always heard that that grandma told you that you had a different dad, not Aunt Susan. I don't know why I heard that.
No, Susan's the one that told me. You know, when Aunt Susan gave me the recipe for chicken adobo, Mom didn't talk to her for like a month. He was mad. She finally gave up the recipe for lumpia when she was out here that last time.
Yeah, she hasn't given it to me. I said, let's make lumpia so I can get the recipe. She's like, nah, it's too much work. Like, ugh.
She spent 3 hours when she was here while I was at work. Yeah, in the kitchen for 3 hours making lumpia, and then I ate all of them. Well, all the
why
first
time. What's happening in her brain where she doesn't want her children to have these recipes?
Keeps us coming home.
Oh.
Like if you were to call mom right now and tell her to go open her freezer, she'd probably have a Ziploc bag full of like 50 lumpia just frozen in there waiting for whoever's going to show up. Because it takes her a long time to make them. I remember when we were kids, they'd have we'd have these huge birthday parties, and mom would spend like the day before, just mom and like a couple of her friends is rolling hundreds of those suckers, and they were disappearing before, as they're coming out of the fry. And we were just scarfing them down.
It's like egg rolls, right?
Yeah, it's like an egg roll with meat in it, but skinnier. It's like a taquito. Like
oh, no cabbage.
Yeah.
No lettuce.
Right.
No cabbages in it.
It is in there. Willie doesn't like them. He's Asian. He doesn't even like Asian food. So, I can't eat cooked fish. Once I got turned on to sushi, I was like, oh, ching chong, ching chong. My Asian came out, and I was like, yes.
What's the one thing we told you not to do?
Sorry.
I know. There were some old reviews of our show where like one of the hosts is always ripping on Asians. I'm like, that's me. I'm Asian. Shut up.
Well, remember when we were kids, we always got called Mexicans.
Yeah. We grew up, I grew up Mexican and gay because people thought I was both of those things.
Yeah. I think in good part due to your older brother here, right?
No. I cornered him one night and asked him. I didn't spread the rumor. I was trying to squash it. When mom first came out of the gate at the airport, yeah, it was like instant tears. She started crying. I was like, oh, I felt so bad because I have not been home since then. Like last time I was there, I introduced them to my son, Aries. And yeah, that's the last time.
How old's your son?
He's 14 now.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he was barely one when we went and saw him.
Does he skate?
He doesn't. He plays video games and, you know, Nerf guns. He's got so many.
All right, I forgot. I have things to do here. How into like the world of conspiracies are you? Like, do you have like aliens and all that stuff? Is there a thing that you look into, or are you even interested in it at all?
I'm more of a matter of fact kind of person. Like, if I see something, then I have to see it to believe it. You know, science, math, you know, that stuff rules all. It doesn't lie. I haven't seen any ghosts, so I don't believe in them.
Listening? So you said you've been listening to the podcast. Do you think that Willie's insane?
No. No, not at all.
Come on, let's beat up on Willie.
No. I did that when I was a kid.
I never got to.
Growing up with him, we're both weird, you know, like but in our own way. I went a different direction of weird, and he went his direction. You know, and like he's been in Oregon a couple of times for the the alien convention,
the McMenamins. Was there. We only went once, but
that one time, and she's going.
Yeah, I stopped in. We went up to the Goonies house, and then we had
the deer out there.
McMenamins.
Well, I don't know. We could have hung out. I didn't get to meet you.
Well.
All right. Well, we do something here on the show called the Wow Scale.
Wow Scale.
Are you a Wed or are you a Willie?
Stands for Wait or Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end of the quiz, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be Wade on the Wow Scale?
Probably.
All right. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I'm kind of dicey on that one. You know, like I haven't seen actual UFO or whatnot, but you know, the universe is big enough, there's a large enough expanse where, and it's old enough where there could be a possibility. You know, with technology today, you can't trust videos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pyramids are one thing. I've heard those theories, but no, I don't believe in them right now. I think there's life on other planets, but I don't think it's been here or in the last 40 years.
Okay, so we'll go yes, no, no. Right, because you think that you believe in life in the universe.
Nah, I mean, we're, what makes us so special? We're in the Goldilocks zone. You know, there's billions of planets that could fall in that space. Bacteria survives everywhere. Heat, cold. You know.
And you said no to ghosts already, right?
Yeah.
I just want to tell you this ghost story I had from our room when we shared a room when we were in the front room. You know, after watching Poltergeist, my whole world changed and I couldn't sleep and I was fucking scared the rest of my life. I was so just like, I'd never seen a ghost. What the fuck, man? So I thought I'd trick a ghost into revealing himself. I went into the closet and started yelling at a spot like, I fucking see you. I know I'm not stupid, and started just cussing out this ghost. And then I got cold shivers, got scared, and I went to leave the room, and I was at least 3 feet away from the light switch, and I was reaching for it way too early, and the switch just shut off on its own. And I used to explain that, like, sometimes if we'd run out too quick, I'd hit the switch and it'd flip back up because we didn't hit it hard enough. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was a hard clicker.
Yeah.
And so here I am frozen with the light switch down, and I was like, oh shit, like, there's a ghost in here. And it got to the door before I did. So here I was just frozen. And then somehow I got the courage and just busted through the door. And I've never had anything else happen. So I assume it must have been some kind of, like, maybe a telekinetic energy thing that I did. Well, I was too far away for it to be static electricity, but that happened in our room.
I don't remember anything like that.
Yeah, I didn't talk about it for probably 20 years.
What do you think when people tell you a ghost story? Do you believe the story, or do you believe that they believe the story?
Like, I believe that you had something happen to you, and, you know, because I don't even have stuff. There's only one thing in my life where even deductive reasoning doesn't explain away what happened to us. And it was like a couple of friends when we were younger. That's the only thing I have it to compare to. You remember, I told you about this, Willie, the railroad tracks thing.
Yeah, and after you told me, I'm like, I must have been there because I remember it too, but go on.
Yeah, if you were there, we were walking along the railroad tracks, and it was, you know, snuck out of the house, it's nighttime, maybe 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, it's a good 5 mile stretch from 57th Street to 37th. And we're walking back there, it goes behind farms and houses and whatnot, throwing rocks at the power line. As we're cruising along behind one of the farms, we see out in the pasture, you know, I see these two little red eyes way out there, just looking at us. And it's kind of pacing us for a little bit. So we pick up a rock and throw it out there at it. And you see it move out of the way before the rock gets there. And then we throw another one. And then all of a sudden, the damn thing comes rushing towards us. We all scatter and start running. In the process of running, I trip over the railroad tie, hit the ground. As I'm getting up, I look over my shoulder, and whatever it was on the tracks with us. And I tell you what, I outran everybody else. Run faster scared than you do angry. But that's, you know, I don't know what it was. There was no moon, so there's no lights out there.
Yeah, when you told that story, I totally remembered it, because I remember seeing everybody book it, and I was like, I thought I was faster. I remember Brian and you were the fastest. But anyways, I don't remember anything else.
Because it was on the tracks with us when I got up and took off, and that's all I ever saw of it.
When it was on the tracks, you knew it was there just because of the red eyes?
Yeah, that's all you could see. It was the two red eyes. And
there's no animals that have red eyes, right? Yeah,
that's the one thing that's happened to me in my life that I can't explain scientifically. I've reasoned it out, thought about it. I'm like, I don't even know. It didn't make any sound either. We're all standing there like, what is it? And then I throw that second rock, and yeah, it came rushing. We all just took off. Run!
Jesus Christ.
I will say, if you ever throw rocks at a power line, if you hit the power line, it's just the coolest fucking sound. That's why we should do it. It sounded
zing down the line.
It's like a slinky, right? When you listen to a slinky.
Yeah, if you ting it right.
Bigfoot, you believe in Bigfoot?
No. You know, maybe back in the day there may have been something, you know, like an old great ape that, you know, but if you think about it, what are these people trying to accomplish that go out there, you know, like Bigfoot hunters? You know, they're going out there blasting mating calls. What's going to happen if there's a real one and he shows up?
Maybe that's what they want. Bigfoot sex stories, yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe these guys are encouraging them.
Psychics.
I'm on the fence with that one because I've seen stuff where, you know, some lady had nothing to do with some criminal case, called up and be like, nah, it's over here. And she called it right off the gate, you know, exact spot they found where the kid was. You know, there's been evidence of that, but at the same time, there's so many.
Wouldn't you at that point, if you're a cop, just be like, oh, well, that lady did it?
Yeah, like, maybe. And you never know. She cut herself up. She's like, I'm innocent, but I know where it's at. You know, that's one that's on the fence. I've never seen.
Have you ever visited a psychic? Have you ever gotten a reading or anything?
No, I have not. Yeah, there's one down the street from my house. I wanted to go in there and see if they knew that COVID was coming. That's kind of my feeling about it. I'm just like, but no, I've never got a reading or nothing like that. Tarot cards, no.
So we'll say no on that. All right. Have you heard of simulation theory, that we exist in the simulation?
Like the Matrix?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
I would say a solid no.
Okay. Let's see. I think you're just a one. You're basically a zero, but you're kind of a one because I believe simulation theory and Willie doesn't. So it's a weird scale.
Yeah.
We'll say you're a one. You're basically a zero. So congratulations.
With the simulation theory, do you take into account like Buddhism? You know, because then it could be, you know, what everybody's referring to as simulation theory. If you're, you know, if you believe in reincarnation, then yeah, you're coming back. You know,
yeah. I've heard that
theory where the reason why babies can't communicate is because it's your old soul trapped in a new body and you don't know how to speak.
Oh my God, torture.
Yeah,
it's like that movie Look Who's Talking, only not funny.
As you learn the new English language, you forget everything about your last life.
Right.
So it's, you know, God's joke.
All right, Willie, hit us with the topic
tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi: the missing 411. Missing people, mainly in remote wilderness and national parks, is a huge mystery. We've talked about this topic before, but now the retired cop researcher is making an undeniable UFO connection. Could all of these missing persons have been abducted? What do you think tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi? So this dude, we've talked about this before, David Politis, I think that's how you say his name. He was a cop for 20 years.
Boo.
He was in San Jose. He did patrol. He did SWAT. He did street crimes. He did detective work. He was looking into people missing and cold cases and whatnot. And a couple of forest rangers hit him up at one point and said, hey, man, there's some weird shit going on in the national parks. So he started asking around. And the national park basically said, hey, we don't keep information on missing people. We don't keep any of that. We don't have the names of people missing. We don't know where they were missing from. If you wanted that information, it would cost you $1.4 million to get that information.
You make it sound like they're extorting it.
That's his story. And like, how could they put a number to it when they actually didn't have the information?
I don't know. So, like a FOIA request costs like $50, right? Or something.
Yeah, they're charging them for their time before they start looking for the information he wants.
Right.
So at this point, he started collecting all of his own information dating back to even the 1800s. And he amassed so many missing persons in the national park system that he came up with, he wrote two books in like 2010, 2012, missing 411 Eastern U.S., missing 411 Western and Canada. And then of recent, he made a new book that was just focusing on hunters that were missing. There's so many hunters gone missing, which is an anomaly. And his latest book is The UFO Connection. So he has taken, basically this whole topic got started because I saw this person had this map of the missing 411 and put it over the UFO hotspots in America. And it was like the same map. And I was like, holy shit, man. And so he reached out to an ex-FBI guy who basically was a Mulder. He was a guy, they'd put him on X-Files cases. He also did detective work for both of the World Trade Center
incidents.
And he's been used as a witness like 100 times in trials and whatnot. And so this dude, this other dude, his name is John LaSouza. So at any rate, they talked about how the overall thing is a lot of times where these people have gone missing, other people over the years have gone missing there too. There have been UFO sightings there all the time. And this FBI guy, when they were doing research, he set up like a CCTV camera, setting it up for cow mutilations and whatnot, like thinking that they treated it as vandalism. And he was saying that cow mutilations happened in a flash of light. It was like they have the cameras up, they've caught some on camera, and it's just like a fraction of a second, there's a flash of light, and then cow mutilations are there.
Okay, but where's the video? You've got it on video, so let's see it.
I've seen the pictures of cow mutilations, and you know, like there's no tracks around the body except for the ones that the guys created themselves, but you know, I've never heard anything about the videos.
Right. Well, he was saying that when he worked for the FBI, the way that it always went down was whenever they helped out with the missing persons in national parks, it was always at the request of these other small departments. And so if they're coming in to help, they don't keep records. And if they do, they get lost to some higher up, and they're told not to ask about things, not to look into things.
Sweep it under the rug.
Yeah. And so he's a whistleblower too, coming out being like, you know what? The FBI has too much power, and they definitely have a lot of information. And then the Canada Mounted Patrol, there was a girl that was interviewed who was one for like a long time. And she said that they definitely had a protocol to do when there was a UFO case. And it was really to just turn it in, hand it over to somebody, and then never talk about it again. So it's weird because neither of you guys believe in aliens or that they're here. And a lot of the missing 411 stories have people, like somebody's walking behind me, we're in the forest, I turn around and you're gone. There's a lot of just disappearing in an instant story with no tracks, no scent for the, you know, somebody was pointing out, they're like, oh, it can't be that abnormal for a dog to not get a scent. But when they find pieces of their clothing or whatnot, and they can't get a scent, that's pretty weird. So what this guy started doing for the UFO connection, okay, let's take all the anomalies. Let's take all the weird things and try to categorize something, try to draw some connections. One of them is anytime they're around water, if they disappear around water, if you know, if they disappear instantly, if there's no scent picked up by the dog. Going back to this FBI guy, John LaSouza, he was saying that whenever he had a strange encounter, or I mean, something that he thought was strange, he was saying that the coyotes and wolves won't go near the carcasses of like cow mutilations.
Yeah.
Or people that have been abducted. A lot of times these people, if they ever do find their body, they find their body in a place that had been searched over and over and over as if it like got put back there later. So I'm just going to jump right into the crazy, right? This guy, John LaSouza, says all of his research says that there is some extra dimensionality going on and that these people are disappearing because they are either slipping into another dimension or being taken. And the evidence is gone because they don't have, there's no crime scene. There's no evidence of an animal or blood or anything. And so he believes that there is some sort of dimensional creature abducting people.
When we talked about this the first time, wasn't there also like if children, or maybe it was just one, I don't know if it was a bunch or not, but like they found their clothes like folded up or something like that?
Yes. That's a normal thing too. One of the stories I read today, they found the guy's clothes folded up with his rifle next to the clothes and then a gun up on top of the mountain.
Yeah, I saw that one. that part doesn't make any sense because there's no tracks in between the three spots. And there
no tracks, no sense. These are hunters that know what they're doing. That's the crazy thing. I want to read the hunter's book because I'm like, if you know any hunter that's hunted in an area for too long, like, sure, there's a chance that they could go, they could fuck up, go missing, be stupid, but it's not likely.
You're not going to scatter all your stuff around either, not purposely, unless there's something weird going on.
I know, I can't explain that, but I can explain hunters, and they usually just drink beer and hang out.
Oh, that's, you know what? That's a good call. You know,
they're not like serious dudes. They just go out to like, it's like golfers.
Yeah.
they're not good at golf, but they do it, you know?
Well, maybe back when we were growing up, I mean, it's gotten a little, you know, people used to get away with a lot of stuff back then. Now you can't really party too hard in the woods and, you know, everything's, there's so many park rangers out there that.
Yeah, but you can drink, can't you? Can't you just have beers? Don't, isn't that what they do? They sit up in those lookabouts. Or what do they call them?
Yeah, because you know they can't smoke the day before you go out hunting.
What about bow hunting? Can you do it when you're bow hunting?
Probably, you know, half the people that are out there are probably drinking when they're camping. But
I'm not saying that explains anything. I'm just saying
you have to scatter all your crap in the woods.
No. Listen, I believe these people are missing and it's mysterious. I just don't think hunters are like some, they're just dudes. They're just,
they shouldn't be on a pedestal of like surviving the wilderness.
Right.
Yeah. All, what's his name?
Bear Grylls?
Yeah. They're not all Bear Grylls with a gun. Half these guys could probably barely start a fire, but yeah. Somebody gave him a gun.
I mean, my friends are hunters and they're morons. One of them's a cop. So there you go. There's no dumber people than cops is what I mean. I'm sorry, cops. If you're a cop, I'm sorry. Not really. So here's the thing. It's hard to talk about because like these are...
they have documented reports that these people went missing and... You know, that's where I'm on the fence with the alien thing, because they've got incidences where you can't explain where this person went. Like, they know that he was here, and then all of a sudden he's gone. And
Well, listen, yeah, we know you don't believe in Bigfoot, but there is a theory that Bigfoot is an interdimensional traveler.
Well,
you've got a Bigfoot angle. Take it away.
So both of these guys, David Politis and John Lasusa, they do believe that Bigfoot is one of these interdimensional travelers. They always get hair samples of Bigfoot. And what they both said was that any lab that you send off these hairs to will always come back and say undetermined results, because most of these labs need to renew their license every year. And they don't think that their license will get renewed if they're like, oh, it's a new species out here. And the guy said even the FBI lab does that. They always will say undetermined results, because nobody wants to stick their head out and say, yep, we got one. And I thought that was interesting, because I'm like, I didn't know that they had to renew their license every year. And that was a good, I don't know, because David was saying, yeah, not that he has it, but he wrote a book about Bigfoot before all this stuff. He was searching for him.
Who's David?
David Politis. He's the one who wrote the Missing 411 books. They're documentaries now, but you can't find the documentaries anywhere. I don't know if that's on purpose or not, but you can't find them.
They're probably pieces of shit.
Wow.
Nobody wanted to distribute it because they're like, this is going to waste our money. This sucks. It looks like it was shot by a dad in the 50s.
Texas is a hardcore state, but you know, somebody painted a piece of canvas with human turds and they've got it hanging in a museum. So anything's possible.
Wait, is this in Texas?
Yeah.
Let me tell one specific incident that was pretty crazy.
Okay.
And this dude was interviewed. He's still alive. In 1974, Carl Higdon, I believe, was abducted from the some national forest. Basically, he was hunting. He saw five elk and he's like, oh, it's crazy. They're not moving. Pulls out his gun, goes to shoot it. And it hit an invisible wall, his bullet. He retrieved the bullet, and you can look at what that bullet looks like. It's just smashed weird. Then some dude came out in a black suit with, he said he was looked kind of human, but he drew him kind of like Greedo, where he had two dots with like weird spikes coming out of his head, and one hand was a cone. And the guy asked him if he was hungry, and he was like, yeah, sure. And the guy threw four pills at him. He took one pill. Then he woke up in this metallic cube, and in the cube were the five elk that were with him. And he was there. The guy basically said, the guy said to him, you know what? And he said, his lips never moved. He's like, what are you doing here? Well, we're here to get food. We come here every now and then to get food. And then he says, we don't need you. So you're going to go back. You're going to be fine. And the guy goes back and tells a story and has drawings. He's still at the time of this documentary, he was still alive. His story still matched. But he said the reason why he thought they didn't keep him was because he had a vasectomy. And he thought they would have kept him if he still had the reproducing parts. And there was another guy abducted in the same area 35 years later.
Oh, all right. Hang on.
Yeah, go on.
There's so many things about this story that I need to make fun of.
Yeah.
First of all, these aliens can travel through the cosmos, but they can't reverse a vasectomy. We can do that.
I know. And sometimes they don't work, especially older ones.
Secondly, a Greedo comes up to you and says, what's up? And gives you pills and you take one?
I know.
Are you the stupidest person in the world?
I'm like,
why would you take a pill given to you by an alien?
Are you hungry? Here, eat this.
He didn't even put it in a beer or anything. He just gave him a pill and the guy took it. Come on.
Space roofies.
This is a dream that the guy had. There's no way that happened.
He's got the bullet that hit the clear.
Oh, I'm sure. But here's the thing. You could show me any bullet. I don't know what
a bullet at a wall and yeah. Same result. Go get a quarter inch thick piece of steel and yeah. Put it in your backyard.
Yeah.
And bam. Spray paint some dark green paint on it.
His wife was still alive and he was missing for a while. They looked for him for a while. And then they
How long was he gone or whatever?
I don't know.
Enough that they were looking for him. So more than a couple days.
Yeah, and it felt like
person's report. You have to be gone 24 hours. So at least 24 hours, but
at least 24 hours this guy was gone.
And what condition was he in when he got back?
I don't remember because he wasn't in good condition for the interview, but like they still had his old drawings.
Well, yeah, he was too old for the interview and stuff, but like just in terms of the story, was it like that Fire in the Sky movie or whatever? Where did he come back to?
Not in the exact same place, just the same area. And his wife, when she was talking, I think she said something like she had a feeling he was going to come back. So she grabbed the sheriff and then they went and found him. It was like it was communicated to her telepathically that he was getting put back.
That kind of checks off two boxes, the alien and the psychic ability.
Or is it aliens or the psychics?
Yeah, maybe.
So one of the things being around water was intriguing to me. Like one of the first stories I looked at, and I forget the names of the people, I didn't write it down, but there were two missing reports that were like in the vicinity of Mel's hole that we talked about recently, just this random hole that the government took over that was very paranormal. And then one of these other stories was right around, Warren Air Force Base. And in relation to that, they had military come help looking for the missing people, which they never do. Green Berets. They had like Green Berets helping to look. I'm like, they don't do that unless...
Well, exactly. They don't do that. So like, who's saying this?
All the stuff is official. You can find information on the reports. He will always request Freedom of Information Act stuff. And he's gotten stuff back that's been redacted. And he's also not gotten stuff back. But when you interview these, like a lot of the interviews are with like retired sheriffs that work the area during the missing person. So there's a huge line of credibility happening.
Like which part of it that he was missing?
Yeah.
What year was this or around?
That one dude, it was 1974 that claimed he went to the craft.
Okay. The other thing is aliens, they travel through the cosmos, but they have to get deer to eat.
Well, I mean, so what the main story is right now is that they're not from other star systems. They're from parallel dimensions here, and that their way into their dimension is usually through water.
Right.
Something about the water allows them to jump dimensions. what if it was parallel dimensions? What if not all of them were being abducted and there were just random openings happening in areas where they travel through?
When you told me what we were going to be talking about, I looked into it and I checked out that video that you sent me. And the one that caught my eye was, those four Mexican guys that were planting trees in Washington. That's not too far away from where I'm at now. And they watched something come in. Most of the herd scattered. One elk didn't move. It froze. They picked it up and then flew off over the next ridge or something like that. And you've got four people that were standing there and they're all telling the same damn story. That kind of stuff. They were willing to actually come forward and talk about it too. So, what else do they have to lose? The video, the guy said a couple days later, they found the body of the elk, quote unquote. It was same, like it just been dropped from the sky or whatnot.
Wait, they didn't even eat it or anything? I mean, did it have the weird cow mutilation stuff or
nothing?
I
think that's what it was more like, but. I just briefly looked into it right before you.
Right.
And that was the one that stood out to me because, they had a hard time talking to those four guys because they only spoke Spanish. So they called some guy in California to come out there. And then he started telling them and like these guys were having nightmares and,
The craziest thing about all of this stuff opened up for me was it's cool to hear these paranormal stories. It's cool to hear different accounts of things that are, I wouldn't say pushed under a rug, but you don't need to push it under a rug if no one's like walking into the area where the rug is, if that, whatever parallel that is.
Well, it just seems like the easiest thing to suppress because not a lot of people are looking into it.
It's standard practice for airlines to make pilots, suppress anything they see weird in the sky for the longest time. If you were like, there was something chasing my plane, doing circles around it. They ground you if you bring it up.
And so to hear that the FBI too just has a thing where it was just like, there's somebody higher up that is taking this stuff and it's going nowhere. And you're not supposed to talk about it. You just do what you're told.
Maybe not even ideally, but like the more realistic version of that is it goes into a file cabinet and no one ever looks at it.
Well, now, if you want to go conspiracy theory, maybe the government is perpetually helping the whole hoax of UFOs along because they're hiding their own technology or, it just keeps everybody looking one direction while they're doing something else the other direction.
I could believe that maybe we're secretly doing tests on people because they've been doing it since the history of our government, I was watching something today where they released this gas into San Francisco for a few days just to see this toxic gas.
You know what I heard? When Ben Franklin discovered electricity, it wasn't a key on a kite. It was a child. That's what I heard. So,
and he was bleeding.
Well, Jesse, what do you think? You looked into it. You've heard Willie. These missing people, I guess. Let's just go to that.
There is, tangible evidence.
Is your mind open enough? Is your mind open enough to acknowledge the interdimensional aspect of it? Like, could that be a possibility, or what do you think?
I don't know. Like I said, I'm open to all possibilities. Life's thrown me curveballs when I least expected it. And so, at the same time, I gotta see it happen. They have tangible proof that these people are missing, and some of them have shown up like days later in the same area where people have done thorough searches, but there's no explanation.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's hard for me to pin down.
What about the idea that both these guys are saying that there's plenty of Bigfoot DNA and hairs out there that that labs won't acknowledge? What do you guys think of that?
I think it's suspicious that they're, not saying anything, but there is some weight to the fact, like what Wade said, maybe, or one of you guys said that their licenses have to be renewed every year. And know, it's just like the pilots. You know, if they say something about a UFO in public, then they get benched for a month or two and have to do some evaluations.
The thing about that bumps with me is like that the FDA doesn't even like approve drugs. Like drugs companies just have their own like FDA in-house dude says like, yeah, this is okay. What?
You can pay for anybody. You give enough money to anybody, they're going to be like, oh yeah, this is good for you. You know, how do you think cigarettes got out?
But that's what I mean, though, when there's like that little oversight into like, you know, fucking what's the drug that's killing everyone? Or is it not the one now, the Oxycontin. Yeah. Like they just kind of like had their own guy approve that. And I'm kind of like, but then like these labs who are testing like crimes are going to be scrutinized to a point where like, that's the only reason where I'm like, reality just isn't fitting with like what I imagine this story isn't fitting with what I imagine the reality is, which is I doubt that there's that much oversight in any of it, that they would lose their license to be a lab, you know?
Well, you know, they want to keep it a secret if it's actually happening, or, you know, it's just you don't want to ruin your own reputation by being the ones that proved you got.
I think it is. Yeah, it's suspicious for sure. What's the rule? The most simple rule is probably the explanation. What's that thing?
Keep it simple, stupid.
I just mean like, can we even entertain that like it was inconclusive? Like, what if the hair is just like a bunch of bird's nest stuff, and they're like, I don't know, this is like a bunch of shit, man. It's inconclusive.
I'm sure they'd be the ones to first tell you that it was. You know, it's like when NASA used to, you know, when the space shuttle used to go up, you could watch live casts from their cameras on the outside of the space shuttle. You can do it on the space station for a long time there. You'd start seeing something weird outside the space shuttle or the space station, and NASA would kill the cameras. You know, and they wouldn't say why. They wouldn't even give you the dignity of the, we're having technical difficulties.
Yeah, yeah. Or you know, like they explain, oh, these are ice crystals.
Yeah.
All right, Jesse, I'm bumping you up to like a 3 now, because you're just saying a bunch of shit that your brothers already said.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. You know,
it wasn't covered in the test. It's my fault.
Well, you know, but I can't explain it. You know, I've watched it on video live. You know, supposedly, because you can do a lot of stuff on cameras and whatnot, but NASA doesn't usually kill the feed unless something weird's going on. And they have a tendency of doing it when they see something weird come flying into the screen. They're like, well, what is that? All right.
Well, let's do this. This is the question that we'll end the episode on. The entire thing about the 411 people, the missing 411 people, and all this mystery and everything. You're saying that it's aliens, right, Willie? I mean, or interdimensional people, whatever. You're saying that it's not just missing people. There's something bigger.
They're not getting lost. They're not getting kidnapped.
Right, right. They're not folding up their clothes and then like walking naked 20 feet or yards or miles.
Yeah, which I know can happen during hypothermia or whatever. But like the first time we did 411, in my head, what I leaned towards was that there were still feral people living in the national parks.
What happened? You don't think that anymore?
I totally am down with interdimensional. Either accidents, they don't all have to be abductions. If they are traveling interdimensionally and there was some kind of just door open that somebody could fall through, I could see that too. That's pretty
well. I mean, look at Back to the Future. He crashed into the Twin Pines and made it Lone Pine. So yeah. why can't a person fall into some weird interdimensional thing? But doesn't this just mean don't do outdoorsy stuff, because that's all I've been thinking is like, well, thank God this will never happen to me because I've never been to a national park. And I never will.
I know. I'm just like, to me, it means always hold hands or keep an eye. If they're being taken, why is it that people would be taken from a group just when they weren't looking for a second? Ah, they'll never figure it out.
Here's the other thing too, you know, look at it from this side. How good of friends were you with that group if they didn't notice and all of a sudden you were gone in a private
100%. I put myself in that guy's position. You don't know how many times I've been hanging out with a bunch of people and I'll say something and like no one even hears it. They all just go on with their own conversation. I guarantee you these people that they got abducted were just kind of like
that.
whoa,
they're just doormats that their friends didn't like.
Where'd Wade go? But you know, like my question is, you know, the guys that some of these they were found, were they, you know, were all of them dead when they were found, and were they
were they
there's
not a consistent answer to it, but like one person that was found, he was found. He just needed to hike back to his little camp spot, and he was found miles away. And days later, somebody ran into him, gave him some food, and thought that he still looked okay. So I think my version of that story is, oh, they took him, then they dropped him back off, but it wasn't in the right area. And then like they determined that where they found him, there's no way anybody could have been hiking back there. They had 20-foot snow drifts, and he was found with his pants and his underwear around his ankles, but most of it was like deteriorated in a way that like was not natural. And
Does that mean that to travel interdimensionally you have to be naked? Is that why they fold up the clothes and stuff?
I you know, there was one dude that was they found his rifle and his fanny pack.
Or are they just perverts? Are they perverts or is it energy?
Fine. Why
stuff?
Are so many people having anal probing things when it comes to alien abduction?
Yeah, are they perverts, Willie?
I my answer is there must be multiple races because there's nothing too consistent. Maybe one of them's just eating the deer. Maybe one of them's fucking mutilating.
Or a way stop, a waypoint on the galactic map. And they're like, if you guys need some food, hit this.
You know, anytime I'm scared of something, I always assume that story's out there to scare people. But there was one of the first abduction stories I heard where they said it was hidden because it proved that some aliens ate humans.
The story?
The story was more hidden than most abduction stories because this one, the guy was half eaten.
All right.
From my point of view, maybe that one should have been pushed forward so people would be more afraid of it. You know what I mean? I'm like,
run from the light, run.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Be afraid of something I've never experienced, experienced and wouldn't even know.
Too. You know, human nature is to be afraid of something that you don't understand.
Right.
Why we have that fight or flight instinct, but yeah. Waking up naked somewhere or with your pants around your ankles in the middle of the snow, that'd be kind of disturbing.
It's just so weird that they're all naked and stuff. I think these guys are pervs.
Well, from most of the stories that I've heard, I'm like, yes, they are taking sperm and eggs.
I think because you have the whole thing where they're like making hybrid people and then like putting them into society and then they become president, right?
Well, I mean, if you want to go that route, think about how substantially taller basketball players have gotten in the last 20 years. I remember when seeing a giant was like, you know, a guy that was 6'10". Now they've got like guys that are almost 8 feet tall. And you're like, whoa, on a regular basis, you know, massive human beings.
They're not getting tall again.
Well, but we are taller now. We're just taller because we don't have to fight tigers anymore.
It happened fast. You know, like the Stone Age and up until recent history, it took couple thousand years for human beings to go 6 inches. And then in the last 20 years, we watched them jump a foot.
I would love it if there were stories of like, yeah, you know, Jesus was like 7'2" and Moses was like 5 foot.
And they lived till they were 800. So, I mean, at least that's what it says.
And they did?
The Bible said what Moses was like close to 800 years old.
Yeah, Jesus, there's some old stories like that. Yeah,
why do people believe that? It's just a bunch of dumb cops like reading the Bible.
Back in the day, when they would teach all the Catholic sermons, they'd give them to you in Latin, and nobody spoke Latin. So the guy could actually be reading from the Bible, and then be like, "Yeah, on the first night of your wedding, I get to have prima nocta with your wife."
Right.
When he's actually reading from the Bible, and nobody knew what he was saying. And that's, you know, that was the balance of power back in the day.
I was thinking about that with Otani right now. Have you guys been following Otani and how he's like, he's getting in trouble? You know, Otani, the baseball, he's like, he's this phenom pitcher.
$700 million deal for the Dodgers.
He's in big trouble now for gambling.
And Pete Rose is on the side just watching.
Yeah.
Lifetime.
But I imagine,
we're talking about baseball where they still have Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and everybody, Barry Bonds, in the record book, even though they admitted being, you know, using steroids. They just put an asterisk on there. It's like, no,
it's right.
You know, they admitted.
But to your preacher or pastor or whatever they call him, like the Latin guy, like, I feel like maybe this translator. He could be saying anything that Otani could just be going like, this guy stole a bunch of money from me, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, he gave it to me for gambling debts.
His buddy's the one that stole from him. Like, I'm his translator too.
That's the story now.
I've got a notarized
translator check. Said so. So you're going to jail, Otani. I don't know.
All the paperwork's in English and he can't read.
All right, let's wrap it up.
I would say the more that you look into these cases, there's so many disappearances that are basically impossible for someone to disappear in some of these situations. Sure, you know, I'm not saying the hunters that should know what they're doing, but like,
I can get a guy who can disappear anyone for you if you're interested. Not hard,
but just like, you know, we were talking, and then a second later, they're gone.
Yeah,
and
those are the trippy ones.
That happened to me.
Listen, real quick, that happened to me. I was at this church lock-in with a bunch of dorks. You know, I didn't go to the church. I was just there because I liked this girl, and they were like, "Let's." They're like being bad church people, and they're like, "I'm in," you know, 8th grade, or I don't even know, 9th, 10th, something. And they're like, let's go ding dong ditch the preacher or whatever, who like lived across the street. So I'm like, okay. So we're like walking outside and they're all like scared and stuff. And I'm in front of them, even though I don't know where the house is. And I'm like, all right, so which one is it? Like, where are we going? And then I turn around and they all ran back inside, but I couldn't hear it. So I'm just saying, it's happened to me. I turned around and like 5 people were gone. And then this asshole in the group was like, you got scared. And I was like, what? I was the only one out there. What are you? So mad at that guy. He was like a bully to me. I was tiny in high school, so I couldn't do anything about it. But anyway, I'm sorry. Finish your button.
I like this quote that this guy was given. That was given to him is that our government will never acknowledge anything they can't control. And it makes me go like, if they did know anything weird in this paranormal realm, there's no way that they'd just come out and just spill the beans. Like, all right, guys, listen up. This is what's happening.
There's no
it's
reason
weird.
To. Yeah.
And then through all of his investigations that I've seen, he's proven that certain departments definitely will send up these paranormal stories to somebody, so they're keeping track of them, or they're getting lost, you know. So he's like proven that the paperwork is being concealed from us, whether it be Freedom of Information Acts denied, Freedom of Information Acts retracted for a missing person, and then just the fact that like so many of these cases, stories went to higher ups that went nowhere. There's proof of a negligence.
Okay. You know how I always am like, who cares? And then like Aaron yelled at me or whatever, but like, I'm not saying who cares. I'm not saying who cares. I'm saying I have to be apathetic about this in the same way that I'm apathetic about like voting, because it's kind of like, oh yeah. I mean, you guys are doing your thing and you're making it seem like I have some sort of choice here. So like when Willie, you're saying like these things are getting sent up, it's like, if I believe you or if I don't, I'm still in the same place where I am. And it's this helpless sort of like, and that's why I say, who cares? And it's not about like, this doesn't matter. It's more about like, there's no actionable thing to do. Yeah.
Right. I'm like, can we get rid of the Electoral College? I don't think we can. I don't think we can get rid of it.
Yeah. Can we make them tell us everything about aliens? No. Like,
they won't even tell us what we're spending all our money on.
Exactly. So it's kind of like that. And it's a frustrating thing. And I guess my who cares is more like just a frustration of like, even if I believe you, it's like, now what? It's just frustrating.
I have the same sentiment. It's just like, what can I do? Basically nothing.
Yeah, right now. I feel sorrow for the families that are, you know, that still have people that disappeared for no reason. Cause you know, they're feeling something and that person's not in their lives anymore. But at the same time, some of the circumstances are so outlandish. It makes it hard to believe. You know, I get it that, you know, some of those stories there, a guy was standing right next to that person and he turned around and he was gone. And they thorough search and nobody was around. And, you know, I can't imagine what that person feels like, the guilt he must feel because he was there with him and he's gone. And then the family, how they're feeling.
I mean, maybe these aliens are like assholes or whatever, and they don't really care. But if they have this, like, remember how the lady knew where he was going to be or whatever, and she took the sheriff and they found him right away because of, like, we're guessing the aliens psychically talked to her.
Yeah, some kind of empathy.
Yeah, why wouldn't they just, like, psychically tell the people, like, it's okay. You know, like in Defending Your Life where Meryl Streep's like, yeah, I had kids and stuff, but I don't really, it feels okay, because she's, like, in heaven where, or in the before heaven where they just, like, made her feel okay. Why don't the aliens just, like, make people feel okay?
I know. And it makes me question if, like, they think they're putting him back, but it's like, oh, whoops, I didn't realize I dropped him in the lake.
Well, and that's the other thing. These guys are like morons.
Well, no, you know, like, look at it like us. We use lab mice, test makeup on, stuff like that. Maybe it's right. Kind of like that, where they think we're an insignificant species and they can do what they will with.
I don't know. If I had the power,
that lab mouse that they're putting eyeliner on, it gives you cancer.
I do. I definitely would. If I was doing that with my, I talk to my plants, man. If I took a poison little rat and tried to make his death more comforting, because I'm not trying to build myself up here. I'm just saying, like, if you had the ability to, like, psychically tell that mouse, like, it's okay. Like, it's going to be okay. You know what I mean? You're lying.
But just, like, for a second.
Yeah. Like,
it seems to be the running story with the aliens. Oh, yeah. Just hold your breath for a second. Relax.
Right. Take these three pills. Yeah. You're hungry? Take some pills. Are you hungry?
There you go.
What are you going to learn from probing anyways?
These are Jetson's food pellets. They'll make you hungry. Now take off your pants.
Yes.
Well, Jesse, I mean, we've got this whole audience here. Do you have anything online you want to point them to? Or do you want to, I don't know, shout out a cause? You got anything?
Be nice to each other.
A good one.
Common sense, too. That's been lacking in a lot of people lately.
But, all right, I co-sign that. Are you going to sit? You're going to stick around and do the bonus, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. So we're going to be here talking to Jesse Ubus, It could go anywhere. We've got a lifetime of stories between these two. So I don't know what we're going to talk about. But thank you for listening. And remember, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get access to our two bonus episodes. That's where we'll be continuing this conversation with Jesse. Jesse, thank you so much for being here. And
thank you.
Of course. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. See you next time.
Real life sci-fi.